The title of our series is called The Great Wall of God. And my friends, nobody can breach the Great Wall of God. And so I invite you to go through a little review with me as we looked at part one 2 weeks ago. And part one was entitled, Enter the Dragon. We looked at Revelation, the 12th chapter, and we discovered the four phases of the great controversy. In chapter 12, it literally tells us, first, there was war in heaven. Satan wars against Michael in heaven. Phase two, Satan wars against Jesus through the pagan Roman Empire. Phase three, Satan wars against the woman who is the church. And phase four, the final phase in Revelation, the 12th chapter, is Satan wars against the remnant. And guess what? We are the remnant. Now let me show you something very interesting. And that is this. The seven heads, if you ever wondered why the dragon has seven heads, and here's why. The seven heads represent the seven kingdoms that have persecuted God's people. And they are Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and pagan Rome, and then papal Rome. That's why it has seven heads. Now today we're going to go to part two, but before I do, I want you to notice on that diagram, where are the crowns on the heads or the horns? You got to look at Revelation 12. Revelation 12 tells us this. And another sign appeared in heaven, a great red, fiery red dragon having seven heads and ten horns and seven diadems on his head. This is God's way, through inspiration of John, telling us that the great controversy theme of four phases went through seven different kingdoms. And that, therefore, the crowns are on the heads. But when we get to chapter 13, which we're going to do right now, the crowns are not on the heads. Let's see if you can pick up what they are. As we look at part two, which is called Enter Bidder Number One, or the Sea Beast. Let us pray. Father in heaven, as we prepare for our communion service, I pray for your Spirit to lead and guide us as we continue this series on the Great Wall of God, that with confidence we will go to the foot washing and with confidence we will return to take communion, because you are a God who never fails nor forsakes. Now use me to be a blessing as we prepare for this very important ceremony, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Revelation, the 13th chapter. Now remember, enter the dragon, now enter bidder number one. And by the way, as you're turning to Revelation 13, children, open your Bibles to Revelation 13. A bidder is someone who does the bidding for someone else, okay? And so we're going to be introduced to bidder number one, the sea beast. Revelation 13, are you ready? Okay, watch where the crowns are. Then I stood on the sands of the sea, and I saw a great beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and on his horns ten crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and the feet was like the feet of a bear, and the mouth was the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his throne, his power, and his great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast saying, "Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. And then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and overcome them. And the authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwelled in the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. Let's take a quick look at this, folks. This bidder number one, what we call the sea beast, having seven heads, 10 horns, and 10 crowns on the horns. We're going to look at the timing first of all. And that the timing shows us that there is a parallel between the little horn of Daniel 7 and the sea beast of Revelation 13. And the timing is perfect. Notice the sea beast of Revelation 13 and the little horn of Daniel are the same power. It parallels the little horn of Revelation 17. Notice that it comes out of and after the fourth beast. Pagan Rome is the fourth beast. Among the 10 horns, which is Europe. You see, over in chapter 12, God was describing to us the powers that would persecute God's people. But when we get to 13, in fact, there was something I forgot to tell you 2 weeks ago that I want to tell you now. That'll make this more understandable. The last verse of chapter 12 is, "The dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus." Do you understand that the rest of the book of Revelation, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, and 21, are a commentary of that last verse in chapter 12. Talking about the remnant people who are attacked. And when we look at part 2 today and we're introduced to bidder number 1, we discover that bidder number 1 of Revelation 13 is exactly the same as the little horn of Daniel 7. And let's look at the characteristics of this sea beast. And we find out this. That first of all, it had one head that was mortally wounded. Now we understand that very clearly. If the heads represent powers, and the sea beast of Revelation 13 is the very last beast on the seven heads, it would be the seventh head. And by the way, isn't that interesting? There are seven seals, there are seven trumpets, there are seven churches, there are seven last plagues, there are seven heads on the dragon. and one of them was mortally wounded. And we notice, or we understand, that that mortal wound took place back in 1798, when Berthier, Napoleon's general, took the Pope captive in Rome, confiscated the property, and for historically, for all practical purposes, the papacy came to a halt. But in 1929, Mussolini, the president at that time of Italy, gave it all back to the Catholic Church. It had a deadly wound, a mortal wound that was healed. And notice that all the world marveled and followed the beast. What a travesty, folks. I mean, stop and think of that. And then we notice that they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast and to the beast. By marveling or following the beast, you are worshiping the dragon. And if you're worshiping the dragon, you're also worshiping the beast. And notice that the beast had a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy. Now, here's what's so beautiful about the Bible. You read that and you'll say, well, this can't be a religious power. It's impossible, because it's so obvious. But when you take Daniel 7 and compare it historically and characteristics, it's the same power as Revelation 13, and it represents a religious power. I'll tell you, deceptions are great. They're scary. And they're going to get even more powerful. So let's continue with the characteristics. Notice it'll continue for 42 months. 42 months, of course, is 1,260 years. And that will be 538 AD to 1798. The papacy came into existence in 538. And Berthier inflicted the deadly wound in 1798. Exactly 1,260 years, which is 42 months. Notice that it blasphemed against God, blasphemed against His name, blasphemed against His tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. Please notice that it makes war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given to Him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. Now, why are we looking at this as we look at the Great Wall of China? We're making our way to the Great Wall of China. We're not there yet. It'll be interesting. I'm sure some of you will start guessing what the Great Wall, not China, of God is. Okay? But these characteristics are given to us so that we can identify without fear of being wrong, so we can be prepared for what's coming. And so let's continue in the characteristics. And by the way, we're almost done. All who dwell on the earth will worship Him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Do you see clearly here there are only how many sides? How many? Only two sides. And if you look at the verbiage of Revelation 13, it says the whole world marveled after the beast. Folks, those are brothers and sisters of ours. Those are children of God who He wants in heaven with Him. And we are the ones that have been called to tell them that. As difficult as it is, it's crucial. And then notice what John writes under the inspiration of God. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. See, the Bible is begging us to study it. Isaiah says that they have ears, but they don't hear. Jeremiah says they have ears, but they don't hear. Ezekiel says they have ears, but they don't hear. And then we come to Revelation. It says, if anyone has ears, let him hear. Bidder number one. Let me show you a little bit of history. Here we go. This is a Italian. This is a Roman Catholic bishop, number one. Arnulf, Bishop of Orleans, who called the Pope Antichrist. Eberhard, an Archbishop of Salisbury, also Roman Catholic, called the Pope Antichrist. John Wycliffe called the Pope Antichrist. Martin Luther called the Pope Antichrist. Cotton Mather, a Congregationalist theologian, called the papacy Antichrist. John Wesley, a Methodist, called the papacy Antichrist. Ellen White of the Seventh-day Adventist Church called the papacy Antichrist. Thomas Cranmer, an Anglican, called the Pope Antichrist. Roger Williams, the first Baptist pastor in America, called the Pope Antichrist. John Knox, a Scottish Presbyterian, called the Pope Antichrist. John Calvin, a Presbyterian, called the Pope Antichrist. Charles Spurgeon, the famous preacher of England, called the Pope Antichrist. Philip Melanchthon, assistant of Martin Luther, called the Pope Antichrist. Sir Isaac Newton, a scientist, called the Pope Antichrist, according to the Bible prophecy. And the translators of the King James Version called the Pope Antichrist. For three centuries, this is what the Protestant Church called the Pope Antichrist. They all said that Daniel, the little horn of Daniel 7, is exactly the same power as Revelation 13. And now, none of those churches teach that. Except the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And so we are getting to the great wall of God. You will see how all this fits together as we go, because I'm done, by the way. As we move to part 3 and 4 and 5 and 6, it's amazing. But brothers and sisters, let me leave you with this, because if you look closely at Revelation 13, the first half of that chapter is not a very encouraging chapter, except as we look closely at two things, and that is Daniel 7:27. The second to the last verse in Daniel says, "And then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him." See, in spite of the message of Revelation 13, every book in the Old Testament, every book in the New Testament, we are sooner or later reminded who wins. And look at verse 10 of Revelation 13. He who leads into captivity shall what? Yep, he'll lose. And he who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. And here is the patience and the faith of the saints, that in spite of how horrific this message is, and remember when Daniel received this message, you go back and read it, he fainted. God wins. And that is to be what we have to remind ourselves with, folks, as we continue this series that's entitled The Great Wall of God. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for a wall of protection that you've given to your people, which we'll yet find out what it is, that cannot be breached even by Genghis Khan, Lord. And it's to protect us from our enemies. And I pray that your Spirit would prepare us now for communion, and we will go with joy, knowing that you have it all planned out, so no matter what happens, we win. So bless us now. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.